A&B Harbor, stall 10, small boat on the left. That's Chuck Miller's response to anyone looking for herring eggs. Miller has the means to harvest this traditional food in a traditional way, so sharing the resource is a no-brainer.
Food tastes better when you share it with people, and it does, and that's the way our people, our native people here are, the Tlingit people.
Like many subsistence fishermen, Miller practices the row-on-hemlock harvesting method. He invited me to join him and his son Jay on a recent harvesting trip.
Okay, I think we're ready to go get some fuel.
So with the fuel and everything, how much does a trip like this cost you?
I don't know, over $200, easy.
Yeah.
Get out on the boat, but it's worth it.
That includes engine repairs and two trips out to Middle Island. Miller says it's worth it because he'll end up feeding at least a dozen people. But within minutes, I learn he has deeper reasons for the practice. Jay explains.
I think the first time I went out was when I was 6 years old.
Do you remember that experience, what that was like?
Yeah, with my Uncle Eli, my dad's brother.
The yellow buoy that's on there is my brother's buoy. My brother's been passed away now for 10 years. Yeah, he was 5 years older than me. We used to do this together. That's the last of the gear that he had, that he used.
As we pull into a cove on the backside of Middle Island, the water abruptly changes from deep blue to milky aqua. That's what happens when you add a whole lot of fish sperm, or milt, into the mix.
So it's still spawning in here.
The shallow water is speckled with plastic bottles and milk jugs, all tied to submerged hemlock branches. And a handful of those have Miller written on them in bold black Sharpie ink. He says people have stolen his sets in the past, which he says isn't unusual when branches are left unsupervised overnight to gather eggs. As a result, he's mildly apprehensive around other fishermen.
He's probably just staring me down because he doesn't know who I am. But I'm gonna let him get a good look at me because you know what? I live here all my life, my whole life.
Miller has a way of diffusing the tension.
Hey, are you taking my sets? You guys look like you got a good set in. Okay, it's coming up on your side. Right there, right there, right there.
Jay grabs a milk jug attached to his Uncle Eli's yellow buoy. He clutches the trailing thick rope. Using all of his body weight, he wrestles the egg-laden branch to the surface.
Get it to where you got some leverage, because I'm going to pull it. Is it moving? It's probably super heavy.
When it's ready to harvest, a branch can weigh well over 400 pounds.
So what we do is we clip off pieces of it to get it in the boat. Holy smokes. Oh yeah, that's a good one right there.
Miller hoists the dripping branch into the boat. It's coated with eggs and looks like it was dipped in a vat of rubber cement.
See, this is the thickness you want. Some people get them just a little bit thicker and that's good too, but not much more than that. That's too thick.
It's a bountiful harvest, which according to Miller is thanks to his brother's buoy.
It's my good luck buoy, and usually every year that's the one that produces quite a bit. It's like my brother's looking out for us.
He tosses the leftover branch overboard.
Sheesh! Thank you. Use the tree to help us. Thank the tree for helping us.
Take away the powerboat, the plastic milk jug buoys, and it isn't difficult to picture this practice taking place long before Western and Native cultures met.
If I don't start sharing what I know right away, you know, I might not be here tomorrow.
When we return to A&B Harbor and pull into stall 10, I realize that gathering herring eggs on hemlock branches is an expression of gratitude. Gratitude for the teachings of his ancestors, gratitude for food, and the chance to pass on this way of life. In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.